is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President-elect Trump announcing retired General Keith Kellogg will serve as special envoy to Ukraine and Russia. ABC's Selena Wang has more.
He previously served as a national security advisor to former Vice President Mike Pence and as chief of staff to the National Security Council during the first Trump administration. He's been at the conservative America First Policy Institute, and he wrote a paper for that institute talking about the blueprint that he sees for an end to the war in Ukraine. So in this policy paper, he writes that the U.S. should condition aid to Ukraine on Ukraine entering peace talks with Russia.
The White House says three Americans who were wrongfully detained in China have since been released. It's part of a prisoner swap with three Chinese citizens, two serving time for espionage. Thanksgiving travel at its peak today. Millions of Americans on the move. Storms stretching across the country, though, could impact some of those travel plans and lead to delays at airports. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Chilly temperatures this morning have people wondering, what kind of winter can we expect? With more, here's Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Wisconsin experiences an average of 3 to 6 winter storms during the season, but last season was slow for snow. In fact, tons of businesses suffered with the lack of it, especially in the Northwoods. But things are changing in the weather pattern.
So a weak La Nina tends to be better for that, to keep it snowing that, and frequent systems, the Alberta Clippers, as we say. So a lot of nickel and dime snow opportunities. More frequent cold air intrusions, too.
That's Matt Friedline at the National Weather Service. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Last week, most of the state saw its first accumulating snowfall. At least one school district in Wisconsin is debating whether to close after two failed referendums this year. The Mauston School District's school board approved a resolution last week to dissolve as it faces a major budget shortfall. The district expects to run out of money in the next 2 years. Voters overwhelmingly rejected a $9 million operational referendum in the spring and narrowly voted down a $7 million referendum this fall, with no beating yes by just 69 votes out of over 5,000 votes cast. Already, the district has left over 24 vacant positions unfilled, frozen salaries, and reduced maintenance budgets. The board plans on putting another referendum on the spring 2025 ballot. If that doesn't pass, the school board has already approved a resolution to close an elementary school, cut all sports and club activities, and eliminate all field trips for next school year. The district's financial woes are the same as over 2/3 of Wisconsin school districts, declining enrollment leading to decreased state funding during a time of high inflation. Mauston is located about 20 miles northwest of Wisconsin Dells. Across Wisconsin, 30% of school referendums failed in the fall election. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go. Download the free Civic Media app on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX.
The Bucks win in Miami. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 106-103 victory over the Heat. Just before the game, Giannis had to drop out with a swollen knee. Guard Damian Lillard.
They said he wasn't going to be in the lineup. I needed to come out and be in attack mode and just try to make things happen and just have that energy.
Lillard led with 37 points, 12 assists. The Bucks now 9-9. NFL, it's the Packers and the Dolphins tomorrow night. The forecast for Green Bay, cloudy, windy. What's it like playing quarterback in the cold? Jordan Love.
In the cold? I don't mind. I mean, it is what it is. You know, being here in Green Bay, it's going to be cold, and you got to go out there and play whatever the conditions might be. So playing here, we practice in the weather every day in the cold, especially a team coming from Miami. You know, I'll take that any day.
It was sunny and 81 in Miami. So how do you get a team ready for 25 degrees at Lambeau?
I was just going to carry ice cubes in my pockets and throw them at players all week.
That's the Dolphins head coach, Mike McDaniel. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, couple of flurries, and a low in the low 20s. And more clouds around for tomorrow as scattered flurries and a high close to 30. Even with sunshine returning, staying cold through the rest of the holiday weekend, only in the low to mid 20s. Currently it's 26.
Harbor Freight knows tool people like to keep busy. But with our Black Friday sale coming up Thanksgiving weekend, you'll want to free up some time. We're talking deals like our 5,000-watt generators under $800, 17-foot ladders for $99.99, and 40% off Icon Pro socket sets. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight. Valid until 12/2/24. While supplies last. Limitations apply.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time for a special Thanksgiving show. We'll give you some updates on the season and also some best ofs of the year. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwab.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
It's not Dom.
No, it's John and Gordy.
We're filling in for Dom.
From WMDX, we broadcast the morning show.
From Madison.
Capital City.
From the Civic Media Radio Network headquarters.
2 hours early in the morning.
Yeah.
We're the best kept secret of Civic Media. We were anyway.
Well, you open the political talk show lineup of the day, and we close it.
That's exactly right. Jess. Yes, and we're getting ready for Thanksgiving. You know, tomorrow everybody's hitting the roads tonight. And
got a little story about that.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good family get-together. Let me just say that.
Oh, no.
We'll talk about that in a little while.
We'll get to that, but yeah. I just want to get to a few texts here. Lynn from Oconomowoc says, happy Thanksgiving. We bring jobs back. We have an aging population, labor shortage, dairy trade wars. Trump subsidized farmers for about $32 billion the last time around. No, that's not inflationary at all.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving.
Cam from Appleton says, we don't hear anything about Canada. They're dealing with a massive Indian and Pakistan issue presently. They want to report. Anyway, I don't know about that one. I didn't know.
We're taking your calls and texts at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And now it's time to welcome in our guest this time around. It's Jim Santel, attorney and host of Amicus, a law review. Jim, good to have you with us again.
Gentlemen, good to be with you. It seems like it was just yesterday. Oh, in fact, it was.
Yes, on our morning show here.
Delighted to be a part of your morning show. Whenever you are on Civic Media, I'm there with you.
I know. And the last time you were here, you went on a rant. You were not happy about anything that Jack Smith had done or wanted to do.
Or Merrick Garland.
Or Merrick Garland.
Department of Justice kind of just dropping off those cases and putting them in the files.
Right. So now that you've had a little time to absorb what happened.
Now how do you feel? Calm down, right?
Well, it seems you're still healthy and not drinking heavily. Tell us about your impressions about, you know, letting all of this stuff go. It seems like somebody is above the law, and that's never been true in this country, that, you know, everybody, the law applies to everybody. And now we found out that it's not true anymore. This is such a dramatic change from what we know as, you know, the United States, the country, the Constitution. It's a complete change.
I think that's right, John. And again, many, many things to take away from events, obviously the past 2 years, but that's one of them, right?
Right.
The Supreme Court tells us 6 months ago, 5 months ago, that we have quite literally an imperial president who, as Sonia Sotomayor said, has a ready gun in the West Wing, ready to go off if he or she chooses to use it. And one can make the argument, again, reasonable people can differ on these things, that when the Department of Justice abandons legitimate 2 years of prosecution returned by a federal grand jury, actually grand juries, plural, probable cause to believe that the former president, future president, has committed crimes. And they do it because he's going to be the next president. He's going to be the next president. That fundamentally tells me that the presidency is indeed a position that one can aspire to, and you can aspire to that, and you can get rid of your criminal exposure. And that's coming from the Department of Justice. That's the Biden administration. That's Merrick Garland saying that now. And I know they would not embrace that theory. They would be jumping all over me. But when you step back, as we begin to do in the wake of this national nightmare we've been through, that's one of the takeaways, that, again, complicit and accepting of things and permitting, obeying in advance, as we've talked about so often, indicating that he's going to be the president. And for the next 55 days, while he's not the president, we're going to give him the benefit, not just the benefit of doubt, we're going to give him the benefit of a policy that doesn't apply, get rid of these cases, and effectively say that this is the one person in America who is, John, as you've just said, above the law.
Absolutely. John Stewart had an amazing analysis a little while back, and he looked at the difference between the parties. And one party seems to be looking at not just the law, but the loopholes for every law that's out there. Now, there's a loophole for almost every law.
Sure.
And then there is a party that deals with the third mark, and that is the norm. And what you're talking about here in the Justice Department and this rule that they have is the norm. This is being very polite. We can't do this to a sitting president. Well, he's not a sitting president yet, but he's going to be, so we're just going to let these cases go. Well, you know, this norm thing is really getting in the way. It's blocking a lot of what we can do or demand from our government at this point, isn't it?
I think that's right. And when you take the norms, which are important, not only the legislation, the rule of law is important, when you take the norms, as you have just said, and you distort those norms, question whether you're doing anything other than what the first group that you just identified, the Republicans, are doing. Because again, you're taking here a principle that does not apply right now, because he's not a sitting president. And you're also then saying that the American public, and this is my principal beef, as you know, the American public will not get an opinion on whether or not the Supreme Court case precludes the prosecution of him, will not get an opinion from the 11th Circuit about whether or not in the future, whether these special counsels are legitimate. Those are important things for the American population to know, recognizing that neither one of those cases, need to be very clear, we all know, these cases are not going to trial. One way or the other, they will be gone in 60 days. But it's important in terms of the rule of law, the norms in our nation, that we have resolution to these things, and that the law, the judges, the principals, the litigants, the lawyers, tell us what that law is all about. And that's what the Department of Justice has abandoned. And that's the norm that they have not followed up on. And that's what's so concerning.
Right. And determine that, you know, all of this is without prejudice. We can return to this case, but it's absolutely not going to happen.
Absolutely. And, right. And here's my shot then again at this, you know, against the, the mainstream media here. And I do not include everybody in this, but, you know, there were efforts doing backflips on Monday night to try to explain this. Oh, it's not, so I had to do it compelled by policy. One of the things that a lot of the commentators brought up, well, this is without prejudice. And what that means is that it can come back at any time, that a prosecutor can bring it back. And again, the honest people on those media outlets said, well, when you dismiss something, you're not suspending the statute of limitations. These events happened in 2001. And yes, you filed the charges within the statute of limitations. It's way, way beyond that, going to be way beyond that very, very shortly, if it isn't already, in terms of prosecutions here. The notion that somehow you could bring this back in a couple of years and file, who's going to do that?
Yeah.
Not the Department of Justice.
Right.
That's just ridiculous. And so let's not even talk media about how that will soften the blow here. The other piece that they talk about, of course, is the fact, and this is a part of his obligation, he will put together a report. And that will be interesting, and we should talk about that. Mm-hmm. We have pretty much seen in his omnibus filing already with the judge what this trial was going to be all about, and that's significant. But it also doesn't, as a report by the special counsel issued sometime between now and January 20th, it's not a prosecution, and it's not a resolution of these outstanding rule of law issues. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at, again, I'll show it to you here. This is the New York Times. End of Trump cases leaves limits on presidential criminality unclear.
Yeah,
we don't get that. And again, some of the media understands that. None of those sort of red herrings should compel us to be happy and somehow embrace what has happened here.
Well, we saw the Mueller report that ended up doing nothing at all. Mm-hmm. In fact, then Trump said that he had nothing to do with Russia, even though, you know, Russia was indicted in that. And I think 5 or 8 people, Russians, were indicted.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, then we have a situation where Trump is going to be 82 years old, and they're not going to want to prosecute an 82-year-old when he gets out of office. So that is also a possibility of, you know, saying, well, then we might as well let this go. But the other thing, too, is we saw the reports from the first impeachment. We saw it from the second impeachment, and none of that mattered. None of it. And we didn't have to go through this if the Senate had done its job and took these things seriously.
Absolutely. And I include, again, those people in the House of Representatives. Early on, you speak about the Mueller report. Bob Mueller said he couldn't prosecute because of this policy. You don't prosecute a sitting president. And what he did was he said, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House of Representatives, here's your opportunity. And he laid out a clear case. That was a case that was not the subject of an impeachment. We did not deter him early on. We instead waited for the Ukraine matter, which is a far less compelling case. And we did that one. The Senate did nothing with that. And then once again, we finally did January 6th, both as a prosecution and as an impeachment, and nothing has come of those either. And so there's a lot of responsibility to be spread around here, including, and I understand the frustration of an awful lot of people out there, and frankly, all sides of the political aisle, who are upset at a system that fundamentally just doesn't hold someone accountable, regardless of whether the next president or not. All those defendants out there who are sitting, anticipating trials, what do we think about them? What do we think about the jury that spent 7 weeks? Again, this is moving from the federal cases to the New York case. That jury in New York spent 7 weeks and suffered threats and suffered concerns, made this determination. And now it looks as if, hasn't been happened yet, now it looks as if that one's going to go away too. What do we tell people about the significance of the jury system when they're called in to be members of a jury? Right. Are they going to say, is my work going to go for naught? Those are the lessons that, unfortunately, all of this sends beyond just Donald Trump.
And Trump getting off, and then, of course, he's going to let all of the insurrectionists loose as well.
He's got virtually carte blanche when it comes to the pardon authority. We'll see that, 1,200 people. A lot coming in, and that is unfettered authority. Any president can do that. The question is that a good exercise of discretion?
All right, Jim. Thanks for joining us today.
Jim Santel.
Amicus Law Review. Check it out on Saturday morning, 9 to 11.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Back with more of the Dom Salvia Show with John and Gordy sitting in just a moment.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Todd Alba Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Alba Show.
This is the Dom Sylvia Show. John and Gordy filling in from WMDX in Madison.
We're taking your calls, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And we asked Attorney Jim Santel to stick around here because we got a question we were going into break.
That's right.
And I believe Dick is on the line from Madison with a question or a comment. Go ahead, Dick.
Yeah, I would love to ask James this. Okay, here's a guy who's with the abortion issue. He wants to go to states' rights, correct?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, so, right?
When that is the case, when we got 34 counts in the state of New York, how come we can't just let the state of New York deal with this? Does the federal government just to get to supersede this and his stack Supreme Court, make it go away, put it in his face and go, hey, you are all about states' rights and when it comes to the abortion issue, let each individual state take care of it. How about on this?
Right, right. And Dick, I would say that both your civics and your constitutional sense are spot on. Again, you're talking again about a case that is not federal. It is pending in the state of New York. This is a case in front of Juan Merchan. He was supposed to have sentenced Donald Trump yesterday morning, and that has not happened because apparently we're scratching our heads now, Dick, in exactly the way that all of us are, and saying, maybe that federal decision about immunities prevents us from going ahead, and he's going to be the president of the federal government of the United States. And therefore, we can't go ahead here. I think you've got a very good point here about states' rights and the independence of the New York court to do what it should do. It is not subject to oversight by a president. There is this thing, of course, called federalism and, yes, the supremacy clause having to do with the supreme law of the land. But your point is well taken, Dick, and it's one that I think we need to discuss more when it comes to that New York disposition. It's still pending right now. But it sure looks as if Juan Merchan is going to either dismiss that one or even arguably even, but just as incredibly, send it off, put it on the file cabinet for until 2029 and then do years of sentencing and appeals into the 2030s, which again,
might leave it in a restroom.
Justice. Yes,
it in the restroom someplace. You
know? All good points, Dick.
All right, Dick, thanks for calling. And Jim, thank you for sticking around for the phone call.
Great to be with you. Thanks. We'll you Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Sir. All right. You too.
Yes.
All right.
All right.
Speaking of holidays, I spent last weekend, celebrating a holiday early, our Christmas get-together, family get-together took place.
Who was in this little get-together?
Well, my brothers, younger brothers, they're twins, and my older sister from Long Island. And you know, they bought their airplane tickets in November, for November, because they were a little less expensive. So that's why we got together so early. Now, I hadn't heard from them. We're not a close family. So I don't know if that's any indication. But at the dinner table, when everybody was done and a few people had left, my brothers, my younger brothers were sitting there. And I said, you know, I mentioned a case about what Trump might do to colleges and school funding. And they just looked at me and they said, well, we'll see. I said, what do you mean, we'll see? Yeah, obviously. You know, the people that he wants to put in place in his administration, they're crazy people. Mm. And they didn't seem to blink an eye. And I said, well, what about this nominee and that nominee? Yeah. And they said, well, we'll see what happens.
Wait and see, huh?
I'm just
wait
like,
and see.
What is this?
Couldn't get an answer out of him. Well, just kicked it down the can.
I was stumped. And then I realized all of a sudden that my brother, who's gay and has been very liberal, democratic, we've talked many, many times about this, he voted for Trump.
No. And they, really?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And it's...
Why?
The thing is, I don't know. I didn't get into that. I tried to get into that. I tried to understand what their thinking was. And I brought up a few other examples of why it's a bad idea to have voted for him. And they just sat there very calmly, almost like they were possessed by some kind of alien plant, that they just simply said, well, we'll wait and see. You know,
what about your older sister?
We saw. We had four years of it.
That's what I brought up. And, you know, that didn't matter. In fact, that was just a blank stare. They didn't say anything to that. My sister, she wasn't in the room at the time.
Oh, okay.
She's very liberal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she wasn't there to back you up or anything.
No. Well, I was starting to get really upset. And I thought, well, I'm going to calm down because my brothers seemed that, you know, they were just numb. They weren't going to say anything. Mm. And they just sat there and looked at me very calmly, but very intensely at the same time. And they were just saying, we'll wait and see. They said a lot of things. They're not going to do all those things. And if they did want to do those things, they probably won't get a chance to do it. So we'll just wait and see.
So your one brother who you thought would vote for Democrats didn't.
Right.
Well,
the other one, he worked for Uline.
Oh.
And the Ulines beat out Elon for contributions to Trump's campaign. Wow. And he picked up a little bit of that conservative feel. And I would assume that he voted for Trump just to see what would happen. You know, why not just throw caution to the wind?
So that was your Thanksgiving. Yeah. You going to get it together for Christmas? Get the whole family to get back?
No.
No?
No, that's it.
You're done.
I'm not going to discommunicate them.
Okay.
I'm just going to take a break here. I'm just going to relax. I'm not even going to bring it up to them next time. I'm just going to let this thing play out, and we'll all wait.
You're just going to wait and see, huh, John?
By the way, that's what I told him. I said, you know what? We all are forced to wait and see at this point. You know, it's not something I can voluntarily do.
I think there'll be a lot of conversations around the dinner table and Thanksgiving tomorrow like that, where just awkward silences and who people voted for.
I think so, because it's scary.
It's still
it really is scary
on everybody's minds. Yeah.
By the way, I've got a tip coming up.
Okay. Really?
Yes. Daily Show put together a little thing that they want everybody to watch and understand when they get together with their families over the holiday season.
All right. That's coming up. It's the Dom Salvia Show. John and Gordy filling in. You can call us 855-752-4842. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM. You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. After Thanksgiving is the start of the holiday shopping season. Many Wisconsin cities take part in Small Business Saturday. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
We all know what Black Friday is for shopping, but now more than ever, small businesses need local support. Saturday, November 30th, is Small Business Saturday. Founded in 2010, Small Business Saturday, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, has quickly become an important part of small businesses' busiest shopping season. In 2023, the reported projected spending in the U.S. from those who shopped at small businesses on Small Business Saturday was around $17 billion.
You can visit your local Chamber of Commerce website for more information on where to shop in your area. The gun deer season's opening weekend is in the books. With more on how things were different across the state, here's Civic Media's Derek Dritz.
Wisconsin's gun deer hunting season opened last Saturday, and the DNR has released preliminary harvest numbers. Hunters registered 89,203 deer statewide during opening weekend. This is a 1.8% decrease from last year. However, this statewide decrease doesn't mean each county was behind last year's figures. Deer program specialist Jeff Pritzel expressed how being a deer program specialist doesn't guarantee you a harvest.
I can struggle too. I have yet to see a deer. I hunted in Vilas County opening weekend, and I was in that camp of folks that just were not benefiting from any deer movement, apparently. And I spoke to another Vilas County hunter that had his deer in the 17 years he's been hunting up there. I spoke to another one that said it was the worst year that they've had up there. And so just an example of the variation. But I can empathize with those hunters that haven't had a chance to see a deer yet. And the season's young, and there's more opportunities waiting for me, I'm sure.
You can find out more information at the Wisconsin DNR our website. I'm Jimmy Kuska for AM 1490 WLCX.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, Glickin Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom, The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, couple of flurries, and a low in the low 20s. And more clouds around for tomorrow as scattered flurries and a high close to 30. Even with sunshine returning, staying cold through the rest of the holiday weekend, only in the low to mid 20s. It's 24 right now.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to talk about a couple of things to keep in mind when you're between jobs or when money is scarce. Number one is a reminder that most of us are already tracking. As best you can, only use credit in emergencies. You know, like a medical emergency or when your only car breaks down. Try your best not to use them for everyday type expenses. That could cost you a lot more over time. Now, number two, if you know you're going to have a hard time paying your creditors, talk to them right away. You know, have those conversations before you fall behind on your bills. They might accept a partial payment. They might be willing to work out some other arrangement with you while you're in a tough spot. And yeah, nobody likes having those conversations, but it's better than the stress of avoiding creditors later. That's today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, we'll replay our visit with dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser about how Trump's mass deportations would hammer the U.S. food supply.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Yeah.
It's the Dom Salvia Show. John and Gordy in the morning, filling
in the afternoon.
That's right. We're broadcasting from Madison.
So we did two shows today. We get paid double today, or is that the way that works?
No.
Plus holiday pay?
I think.
Plus
maybe.
Bonus?
I don't know.
No?
We should push for that. It's too late to do that.
Okay.
It's way too late to do that.
Well, we thank for Dom for letting us fill in.
Yeah.
Oh, he was happy to have an extra day for Thanksgiving.
Happy to have a day off.
Yeah.
Well,
that's fantastic.
Is he back tomorrow? For Thanksgiving?
No, we have a special episode tomorrow. It is mostly some new pre-recorded content with a little bit of a replay of an excellent, excellent interview that we did yesterday, tacked on to the end. And then on Friday, I will be guest hosting the Dom Salvia Show.
Wow.
Absolutely, I will be. And Mr. Zommers, Todd Alba's producer, will be joining me. And we will also be hearing from Greg Bach, producer for Up North News and co-host of Matt and Air on Air, for a special Oops All Producers episode of the Dom Salvia Show.
Oops. That really does sound like fun. It
producers
really
are taking over on Friday. Well, good for you. That'll be a great time.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Now, let's get to a little tip here, you know, for getting together in the holiday season here.
Okay.
The Daily Show had their
take on it.
Because
you would know. Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, it was a nightmare for me. And
if only you had had this tip from John Stewart.
If only I had known.
Yeah.
This is the way to do it if you have problems at dinner, Thanksgiving or Christmas, whatever happens.
Or whatever holiday.
This is the way to deal with it. They have the solution. Let's listen to the Daily Show cut right now, all right?
Sorry, what was that number?
Oh,
stand by.
That was 179.
There we go.
179.
Yep.
Oh, goodness. I swear I had it. All right, let's go.
Leslie Jones will come to your house and politely interject when the conversation becomes political.
I'm just thankful that Roe v. Wade was finally overturned.
That's the conversation you want to start right now at this table while everybody's happy during Thanksgiving. While we trying to be happy. You know what? Have some dry-ass turkey. And shut up.
It's insane.
The way I see it is your generation are all a bunch of lazy socialists.
Who is you calling lazy? You can't even bring proper pie to Thanksgiving. And stop kissing the kids in the mouth. That's nasty.
And if that doesn't work, Leslie goes back to basics.
I'll say, these transgender people...
Can I have some
stuff?
And that's the solution.
Oh.
Just loud screaming
just
in their
scream
ear.
Scream and yell.
That's it. Yep.
Oh,
well, she's crazy, though. I mean, she used to be on Saturday Night Live.
I know.
Yeah. Fantastic
hilarious
stuff. Okay, now this is a normal, everyday get together. You know, the pundits get together around a table on CNN and they talk politics, right? And there's a conservative at this table. I don't know who he is. I don't know, but he always gets ripped somehow by some of the guests on that table. They they talk to him, don't raise your eyebrows to me. Don't furrow your forehead to me. And you know, don't say dear to any of my guests. So this guy is always getting, you know, hit for something. And I don't feel sorry for him. He's a conservative. But when... You got to listen to this guy. This is almost like a comedy bit.
Okay.
Because they're talking about fentanyl at the border, right? So he always takes it to this extreme. He makes something up, and it leaves the guests and the other hosts kind of taken aback. So let's just look at it as a comedy bit for somebody, you know, trying to make the conversation difficult for everybody else. Let's listen to this cut. It's cut 180.
It's national security, and it's this poison that is killing American people all over this country.
I 100% agree. Like, the fentanyl epidemic is horrible. It's tragic. We need to do something
about it. And China's part of it as well, and they're part of it as well.
You know that there actually was bipartisan legislation intended to increase our fentanyl detection technologies at the border, and Trump killed it. That was the bipartisan border bill that Trump basically unilaterally
killed. I know, you keep fighting these old battles.
It's Donald Trump, Donald
Trump won,
and he
wants, and he wants the border secured.
That's the solution to it.
But he wants the
Mexico. That's the solution to it.
It's not the only solution, because Mexico has to do something. It's coming up their country and right over our border. They do nothing. It's a crisis. They do nothing.
Do you know what's happened to border crossings in the last year? They've gone down by about 75%.
It's a crisis. If you want to argue that it's safe and secure your... That's crazy.
It's down 75%.
Yeah.
But it's a crisis. It's just weird, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. It's just, it stretches the imagination. I'll tell you what, let's take a phone call right now. We have Joe. Joe, thanks for giving us a call today.
I appreciate it, and you're doing, of course, a fantastic job. I wanted to respond with an immense gripe, but a possible solution, and that was in your first hour, you had comments from the quivering worm, J.D. Vance, and he was using the terminology of America's heartland, which is, I don't know about you guys, but when somebody starts using the words America's heartland, I just want to take out my fist and knock their choppers out. I find it the most bogus marketing, ridiculous term ever. Like, there is one part of the country that is the heartland and the rest is, I don't know, America's hangnail or something, you know, that doesn't count
right,
at
exactly.
all.
Right, exactly.
The coast, we don't want to deal with them. We don't want to deal with cities. You know, that's elitist, blah, blah, blah. And I find it such phony baloney. Either we're all Americans or we're not. And this idea that they're somehow more, just better. They're just better and pure and just better in the central part of the country. I just find obnoxious. And it's just like farmers are better. Well, they don't have farmers in California. I think they do. But I just, in this time, I just wanted to offer, especially because it's just such a sad time and dispiriting. And there is a wonderful short film that your folks can find during, if you want to take a break from the relatives for a little bit, it's called The Boat Lift. You can find it on YouTube. It's about 12 minutes long. And again, it's called The Boat Lift on YouTube. And it's the most upbeat, heartwarming piece of America that I've heard or seen in ages. It's a short film narrated by Tom Hanks. And it's this little piece of history that I was completely unaware of, which is after 9/11, that day, Manhattan's an island, and Manhattan, the island, was shut down. The tunnels were closed, the roads were closed, and you had thousands and tens of thousands of people who were stranded on Manhattan and had no idea how they were going to get home and were frightened. They'd been through something absolutely terrible and had no idea if this was just the first opening salvo in a war against that island, that place in our country. And the film looks at the fact, okay, how are these people going to get out of there? And so what happened was the Coast Guard put out I'm not telling, giving it away. You can definitely see many more twists and turns. But the bulk of it is the Coast Guard sent out a notice and said, any boats that are free, please come help. There were hundreds that responded, hundreds. Mm. They were tugboats. They were pleasure boats. And they came and they took people home. It was became the largest boat lift in history, period. This is America, not this garbage that we're going through right now. This is America. And if you're feeling down and feeling like, what is happening to my country, I just would encourage you to anybody to give a look at it. It's about 12 minutes long. The film is called The Boat Lift, narrated by Tom Hanks, and you can find it on YouTube. So happy Thanksgiving, all, and let's just keep watching out for each other because we are going to make it through otherwise. So,
oh, I know.
Thanks,
I know,
Joe.
All right, thanks for the review as well. Yeah, we'll have to check that out.
I will put that into the show notes if you want to go find that at civicmedia.us/shows. Search for The Dom Salvia Show. You can also find those podcast notes at Spotify or Apple Podcast.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Good enough. And we're still taking your calls and texts at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We're going to talk about the hardest town to spell.
Hardest town to spell. I just found this to be kind of interesting because my relatives live up north and I thought spelling a town up north is probably really really difficult because it's hard to say a lot of the names up there.
There's a lot
much less spelling
all over the state,
right?
Not just up north.
And so it's Wyawega.
That's it. Huh?
That's the hardest town to spell in Wisconsin. we're really getting down to the brass tacks here, aren't we?
Oh, it's just an odd item.
1,790 people live there. It's located halfway between Wisconsin Dells and Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Wyawega means where we rest.
Okay.
I guess it was hard to say, so they said Wyawega.
Wyawega.
Why we rest. Say that faster
no,
a
I
few
don't
times.
Want to. But that's the hardest one to spell.
Yeah, yeah, that is. And I just thought, well, they call it Wega.
Is
up
that
there,
what,
I guess.
Okay.
Or Wega. I'm not sure what they say up there.
Mm.
All right. But having been a resident of Milwaukee for the first 30 years of my life,
yeah.
We had a department store there in Milwaukee by the name of Treasure Island.
Okay.
Okay. They,
yes.
They had a squiggly roof, which was really problematic when it rained and snow piled up on it because it would just pile up and it would leak badly.
It would freeze up?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Anybody get hurt with ice flying off of that thing?
But they shouldn't have had the squiggly part all across the store. You know, should you, like, just the frontage.
Okay.
You know, they could have had a squiggly roof on the front just to get the point across, right?
It's odd.
So I'd like to have you cue up 174 for me. And this is an ad put together by Treasure Island. I don't know if they were statewide or not, but they were very local. And this ad played off the different names of the cities in Wisconsin. Let's hear it.
Coggin, they prefer McWanago or Peshtigo, and so do I.
Oh, come off it. Peshtigo isn't even as good as Noka Bay or even Little Swamico.
Oh, look, you go to Namacoggin. I'll go to Peshtigo. Mom and Daddy have always gone to Wyalushing. This year they said it was Pokigama or Peshtigo. No, wait a minute. It was Muscadet they were talking. No, Ashwaheno. Wait a minute.
Well, wherever you Peshtigo. Paddle your canoe this summer or wherever you camp, you'll find everything you need under the squiggly roof of Gamo.
There it is. Now,
wow.
Yeah, I managed to get that commercial because I sat next to my tape recorder constantly all day long and night recording off the radio.
Wow.
Yeah.
Got a little piece of history. Yeah. Explains a lot.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Locked away in my room drawing comic books.
Look where it got you.
I know. Yeah. I know. Big fan of Marvel.
Again, I'm a big fan of this Deer Hunters Roundup. I want to mention this again because this is really something that is taken off.
Well, please
50 years it's been on the radio station way up north here. It's I just had it right in front of me. If you go to the Civic Media app, you can find it, civicmedia.us. And they're doing this all the way through deer hunting season. So for another, you know, several nights, seven or eight nights, I think. And this is just a great thing. They have the podcast at civicmedia.us. All these deer hunters telling their deer hunting stories with all their code names for wherever they're hunting from. And
that's what I'm going to be listening for.
Yeah.
The names of their deer camps.
Exactly.
I can't imagine what they're talking about, what they're saying. I mean, obviously there's some intoxication involved.
Maybe.
Some drinking.
It's WCQM 98.3, 6 to 8 p.m. So you can listen to it, you know, on
live,
the Civic Media.
On the Civic Media app.
Yep. And 25 years, Joel Karnick has been hosting this. 25 years.
I know.
That's amazing. So tune that in. Check it out. That's our recommendation.
Well, that's a long time to host that show.
It's been on for 50 years.
Yeah.
He's hosted it for half of that time.
He has some stories to tell.
You think?
Well, you know.
Fabulous.
I haven't heard it, so I wish I could talk about it.
Well, you can find it on the podcast.
What could they talk about at these deer camps? Oh,
are you kidding me? There's all kinds of stories.
Is it?
All
really?
Kinds. Yeah, we got to check it out.
All right.
All right.
Not Hunter myself, so I wouldn't know.
Okay. Hey, we're coming back with tidbits, odds and ends, a few leftovers.
We've got a great comedy bit from Britain. You got to check this thing out.
All right. It's John and Gordy in for Dom Salvia on the Dom Salvia Show, Civic Media Radio Network. We're coming right back.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
He wear no shoe shine, he got toe jam football, he got monkey finger, he shoot Coca-Cola, he say, I know you, you know me. One thing I can tell you is you got to be free, come together.
All right. Mm-hmm. John and Gordy filling in for Dom Salvia today. And we're going to close out the show with a couple of entertaining little cuts.
Yeah.
All right.
Something to put a smile on your face.
Well, that's what I'm thinking as you go
grandma's
out.
Grandma's house.
Yeah.
For Thanksgiving.
Worried
dinner.
About meeting your relatives who may have voted for Trump.
Yeah. So that's so this should do it. This should lighten the load a little bit.
Huh? That's right. I think this will help a lot. I mean,
well, what do you got here?
You know, a lot of people have tweeted in the past, and they've said some very nasty things. We know that J.D. Vance said some very nasty things about Trump. Now he's a vice president.
Yeah. RFK Jr.?
Nasty things.
Yeah,
terrible things.
Horrible stuff.
So
yeah.
This British prime minister is being confronted by things he tweeted in the past by the... by the media. This is a comedy bit. It's not
okay.
Real.
This is not real.
Yeah,
okay.
I only found that out at the end of the bit because the guy says, well, aren't you going to change your profile picture? And it's a picture of him holding a sign saying Trump is a C word. Okay.
Oh, well, that's
But when he looked down and he's changing that on screen, I thought, this is a joke. But anyway, check it out. This is fantastic stuff. I think you'll like it.
So, Minister, Donald Trump is president-elect once again. What are your thoughts on his emphatic win?
Well, look, obviously, I congratulate Donald Trump on his victory, and I look forward to working with his administration over the next 4 years.
You've got some bridges to build with him, though, haven't you, given that in January 2017 you said Donald Trump is a neo-Nazi and a disgusting sexual predator. God help the United States.
The Prime Minister and I have already had several meetings with President Trump in order to maintain a healthy relationship that benefits both countries, and I think that's what's important right now.
When you met the President, did he mention this tweet you wrote back in March 2017 when you said, how can anyone spend time with Donald Trump and not come to the conclusion that he's an unscrupulous, egotistical, misogynistic fascist? God, I hate him.
What I'm focused on is making sure that our strong working relationship with the United States continues under President Trump and his team. Even though you said this in July 2017, Donald Trump is contemptible, vile, and odious, a tornado of corruption and depravity in a flappy blue suit. He makes me sick. Donald Trump is a man who speaks as he finds, but I think that it's important that we find some common ground in the national interest, and that's what myself and the Prime Minister are focused on doing in the coming months. So presumably you no longer think what you tweeted in December 2017 when you said, anyone who tries to forge working relationships with Trump is an unprincipled, morally bankrupt charlatan who should be treated with contempt and total disdain. I don't care who you are, if you want to work with that fascist monster, you're a piece of The transatlantic relationship is one of the most important relationships that the UK has, and I don't think that bringing up tweets that I posted several years ago should have any bearing on what we're trying to achieve today. Even though you said in January 2018, oh God, don't ever forget these things I'm saying about Donald Trump. Seriously, if you find me reeling off some spurious thoughts in years to come about looking forward to working with Donald Trump because he's been re-elected, God forbid, then take it as read that I've sold my soul for the sake of my political career and should be kicked in the face for the rest of my life by the people who voted for me. So much has changed in 8 years, and I think that it's incumbent upon us to extend the hand of friendship to President Trump for the sake of national and financial security. Okay, if that's the case, perhaps you should also change your profile photo.
There you look down, and he's going to change it online.
That's it.
It's fantastic stuff. That's it.
Beautiful.
All right.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was a great bit. It really was. Mm. We're all guilty of that.
Yeah.
I did send you the Weisenheimer cut.
I've got
it. Okay, fantastic. But first, we want to get to something that the grift continues, and boy, I think Trump is going to be very wealthy by the end of his 4 years.
You think so?
Well, you know, he's selling the watches for $100,000, but there's no guarantee.
Yeah.
No, there's no guarantee they're going to mail them out. Okay, so you know that he's taking bribes.
Mm.
That's what those watches are about. They're not making the watches. He's just taking $100,000 watch money.
Oh man!
All right, and now he's selling a guitar.
Yeah, it's an electric guitar, and it's a complete ripoff of a Gibson Les Paul. I mean, it's an exact ripoff.
Yes,
copy.
You noticed that immediately when I showed you the picture.
You showed me the picture a few days ago, and he's done that. And Gibson is famous for being extremely protective of the copyrights and all the patents on the Gibson Les Paul guitar. Yeah. Of course, Les Paul from Waukesha, Wisconsin, inventor of the electric guitar, whether it was him or Leo Fender, there's always a debate of who had it first.
But doesn't it make it legal? I mean, so what if they copy it? You know, it's got Trump's signature on it. Oh, it's got to be okay then.
No,
right?
It's not okay at all. And Gibson is laying down the law, and they're issued a cease and desist.
All right.
Of course, we know how much that's going to be paid attention to by Trump. But,
well, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll wait and see. All right, folks.
See what happens.
We've had a lot of fun here today filling in for Dom.
We thank him.
He'll be back after the holidays, of course, and we'll be back in the morning show on Monday.
And Jess, thank you.
Yeah,
for,
thank you very much, Jess.
Thank
being with
you.
Us this evening. And tomorrow there's going to be a special Dom Salvia show.
That's correct. Right. Dom and I will be coming to you pre-recorded tomorrow, and then you'll be with me on Friday for Oops All Producers.
Excellent.
Oops.
Should be a lot of fun.
Thank you so much, right, John and Gordy.
Let's play the Weisenheimers out with a special cut of the Packers Go Packers.
Well, we're actually going out with some Beatles. Come together.
Oh, okay.
That's fine. And thanks to Dom Salvia again for letting us fill in. And everybody here at the Civic Media
thanks
Radio
for the calls
Network.
And texts.
Yeah. We'll talk to you Monday in Madison.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
So long.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Maggie Dawn.
You're listening to a special pre-recorded Thanksgiving Day episode for you from the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Thanksgiving!
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.